it's just a load.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Talking with a guy. Actually, last hour we were talking about John Kennedy Jr. This hour we're talking with a guy who's written a book called, I'd heard of this book too, America's Biggest Lie, The Zapruder Connection. The theory being that Abraham Zapruder, the Dallas clothing manufacturer, who shot that piece of 8mm footage that many of us are familiar with, it shows the president very graphically being shot that day in Dallas, actually was responsible for the death of Kennedy, had the gun mounted on his camera. The theory is that Zapruder was an amateur filmmaker who had been struggling both with his business as a clothing manufacturer and with his recent films. His first film, Python, did not get wide release. He filmed a definitive autobiographical short called A Jew in Texas, which lost in the West Texas Film Festival. So he was desperate for a hit. He arranged to have a film made called The Death of Camelot about the ending of the Kennedy administration. But the problem was Kennedy wasn't dead yet, as was pointed out to Mr. Zapruder by Abe Schoenfeld, or Al Schoenfeld. What was the guy's name? Ronnie Schoenfeld?
Yeah, Ronnie Schoenfeld went to Mr. Zapruder and said, we can't make a movie about the death of Kennedy because he's not dead yet. And that's when Abe came up with the idea of shooting Kennedy and then going for first prize at the West Texas Film Festival. But all of that, of course, was didn't come out until after the death of Kennedy, and of course the CIA and the Secret Service got a hold of the film.
And you're saying that he had a gun mounted on the camera.
That's correct.
All right, now let me ask you something, and you haven't been able to answer the question why it is if Zapruder shot him from the side, why Kennedy's head went backward and forward.
Right, I don't know why it did that.
Well, then it could have been that he got shot from the front or from behind.
It could have been, except all the other evidence points to Zapruder. He had a motive. He wanted to make a movie. He could have had the weapon mounted on his gun, and we got the body, which is Kennedy's.
The motive was that Abraham Zapruder wanted to win first prize in the West Texas Film Festival. The weapon has not been recovered. The body, of course we have the body, but then, you know, it was pretty hard to lose the body. So I think that there's a few holes in your theory, Mr. Green. Here is Orem, Utah, on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Orem, hello.
Oh, Charles Martin, yes.
Yes, sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Phil, love your show.
Thank you.
I guess Ruby was screenwriting a sequel then. Is that what we're talking? I mean, how lunatic do we have to get on this thing? This is so beyond any kind of sensibility.
Well, you know, there are a lot of theories as to the death of the president. I don't think that ruling out Zapruder is wise at this point.
Well, let me ask you something.
What was he doing there? Ask yourself, what was he doing there?
Well, I have a question. What was he doing there with a cheesy little 8mm camera if he's going to be knowing he's going to be shooting the crime of the century?
He had some bad luck.
Okay, oh, jeez.
All right, so he didn't have the most sophisticated equipment.
Yeah, they were better than what he had.
He had a budget problem. There's no doubt about that. But I'm asking you, what was he doing there on that day?
Well, I don't know what Oswald was doing there on that day. I mean, if you want to make that kind of case.
How about this? I mean, how about he was there to see the president go by?
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of people lining the streets.
What do you mean, sure? There were all kinds of people out there to see the president. Why couldn't he be there to see the president?
And he just happened to catch Kennedy. You know why he was there? Was he going to say, bye-bye, Mr. President?
Oh, so so right behind the sign, as soon as he emerged from behind the sign there, he takes his shot at, like, the worst possible location. And why didn't the camera jerk if there was a gun attached to it?
What do you mean?
The camera is a nice, smooth pan as the president goes by.
Right, and if there had been a bullet fired from that camera position, especially if it was mounted on the camera.
There was an anti-recoil mount on the camera.
Well, there would have been smoke, there would have been all sorts of, there would have been people turning, looking at him. Instead, they were looking at the president's limousine.
Well, wait a minute, you don't know that. You don't know where they were looking because there aren't any people other than the president and Mrs. Kennedy in the frame.
You know,
standard equipment on rental cameras always offer an anti-recoil mount.
Okay. What? On a rental?
This is. You know, I saw some little green men in my backyard last night. I mean, give me a break.
You know, if I were you, I'd go see a psychiatrist. Okay, I'm just simply telling you that Abraham Zapruder, with a film career that was going nowhere, needed a hit.
He got a hit.
He got a hit. All right.
Yeah, on film by accident.
They took his film by and wouldn't let it get it.
So in other words, if they'd given his film back to him, he would have turned that into a film called The Death of Camelot.
Right.
And they killed Ruby because Ruby was writing the sequel to it, I guess, when they killed Oswald.
So that's your attempt at humor?
Yeah, it is.
That's
well,
great.
Well, I mean, I cannot match the humor in your theory.
I'll tell you right now that Mr. Zapruder was at the right place at the right time. Why we're ruling him out, I don't know.
All right, well, sir, thank you for your call. Abraham Zapruder is standing there, shoots Kennedy with his camera, gets it on film, then he's going to take it back to his studio, shoot the rest of the movie with the actors, and then at the end, Kennedy gets shot.
Right.
And that's The Death of Camelot.
That was a sure winner.
At the West Texas Film Festival. Here is Sarasota on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is where I can blow his theory right out of the water. It's totally false. He says it's going to be called The Death of Camelot. Well, the term Camelot was never associated with the Kennedy administration until after Kennedy's death.
Yeah, publicly. Publicly.
Mrs. Kennedy invited Theodore White back to her apartment a couple of months after the assassination of the president, and that's when she told him about how Camelot was his favorite play. And how Camelot, that shining moment, you know, and that line from the play.
I got all that baloney, yeah.
Filmmakers are
very in on the news and society.
No,
Zapruder was very, very much ahead of his time.
No.
Yeah.
That's when they started coining the phrase Camelot with the Kennedy administration.
How do you know?
Never,
how do you
it
know?
Was, I'm a presidential historian.
Okay,
and
so
you're
you
an
know
idiot.
Before that.
You're an
that
idiot.
No, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question. How do you know that before that people had not used that term?
Never
I want to know. I want to know how you know for a fact.
I've read about every president book on every president, and especially on
Kennedy.
You know,
all the stuff that you just said, it's all in the book.
Never been associated
with Kennedy. Mr. Zapruder's diary.
After the death.
Mr. Zapruder's diary.
Who would be stupid enough to film their own assassination of the leader of the free world? Would
you know what? You could call that
killing
stupid.
The president?
I'm sorry?
Would you film yourself killing the president? If that ever got in the Secret Service hands, you'd be
well, I like
yourself.
To think of myself as a... daring. Well, I can tell you right now that what I believe Zapruder did, and Zapruder is, in my opinion, a great filmmaker, was he filmed this, and he could have gotten away with it had, you know, Kennedy not died.
Had Kennedy not died, he would have gotten away with it.
It's called guerrilla filmmaking.
And well, you know what? What do you mean he would have gotten away with it? He did get away with it. If you're saying that what you're saying is true, Zapruder shot Kennedy, and he did get away with it. Here's Clearwater on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, you're right.
Clearwater, hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to this moron who's...
here we go. We're calling me names now. Is that it? You know, if all you got is to call me names...
Hey, you know what? Listen, I just want to bring up a couple of points. First of all, I don't care what kind of flash suppressor you have, the light from a gun will show up on film. Smoke from a gun will show up on film.
Not
if it's mounted
overhead.
On the camera,
not if
it
overhead.
Will show up on film.
It was overhead.
And second point is, if these films have been gone over and over and over, it would be obvious that the bullet came from exactly the direction that the film was shot. And he would be busted so fast that he would never have been able to get away with anything like that.
That's the point that I was trying to make. How is it that Kennedy goes forward and backward?
Well, first of all, he had an anti-flash filter lens.
One more time.
He had an anti-flash filter lens.
From that distance, a 9mm Luger would not blow the back of someone's head off.
Well, wait a second. That's not what you said. You said that he couldn't have been shooting from there because he would have seen
another
it,
point.
Okay?
I'm just making another point.
All right. Now, a 9mm Luger may not blow off the back of his head, but if he hit a bird...
Not from that distance.
If
no
he
way.
Had hit, if simultaneously he hit a bird or any flying debris...
Well, now what are you saying?
I am saying...
Simultaneously?
Well, yes, simultaneously with the bullet, the president could have hit...
The argument's getting weaker and weaker.
No, no. Are you saying it's impossible the president could have hit a bird?
His head?
The president could have hit a bird?
His head could have hit a bird, yes, sir.
What? At the same time the
couldn't have hit a bird.
At the same time the bullet hit him.
At the same time the bullet hit him, a seagull.
And it flattened the bullet out and it went through his head? No, absolutely not.
I didn't say that. I said it jerked his head back and ripped away part of his skull.
No.
The bullet, how fast were the limousine going, Phil?
Not a 9mm.
Fast enough? To rip
I'm
away.
An
if the bullet hit
a 9mm,
I don't doubt
not
that, sir.
Do that to someone.
If the bullet hit his head at the same range. Time that a seagull hit it, and it.
What do you mean a seagull? It wasn't
You're
going fast
Texas,
enough.
Right?
What?
This is preposterous.
I'm
anyway.
In Dallas,
Somebody
Texas.
Got killed the president so he could win the West Texas Film Festival.
Yes, sir.
Nothing anyone's ever even heard of.
The speed of the car to the speed of the bullet. There's your answer about the speed of the bullet. Right there.
Yeah, okay, thanks. We got it.
He drove right. into a bullet.
No, they drove into a seagull at the same time that...
Okay, thank you very much for your call. Did you hear that? He's calling from a bar. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. So I don't really follow tennis, but I know that Wimbledon is big time. People watch it. It's the British tournament over there thing. They also have the U.S. Open, and tennis to me was always a bore. But you know what? It just doesn't mean that it is. It probably means that I can't get a kick out of life. But I know that it's very popular. There's the Australian Open that's big, the French Open, the U.S. Open, and Wimbledon, and that is the Grand Slam of tennis. They just had the women's semifinals at Wimbledon. And Venus and Serena, is that her name, Serena? Venus and Serena Williams' sister team, it's two sisters, competing at Wimbledon, faced each other in the semis, and Venus Williams was the winner. As a matter of fact, aren't we going to do a Spotlight on Sports here? I totally forgot about Spotlight on Sports, because this is basically where we talk about sports, and we are going to have Pastor William Renick on. So let's do Spotlight on Sports right now. It's time now for Spotlight on Sports with Pastor William Renick, and Pastor Renick is on the line with us from his home in Southern California. And Pastor Renick, how are you, sir? Is he there? Pastor Renick, sir, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry, I was talking to some of our, we're having an annual festival this weekend for Joyful Union, and we are getting ready to print up some of the tickets and have a lot of the families visit us this weekend for a wonderful weekend of family festivity and fun to raise money for our church, which is now 35 years here in Bellflower, California. So,
well, congratulations on that, Pastor.
Thank you very much. We are having a good time.
All right, well, let's talk about Wimbledon and Serena and Venus Williams. Obviously, very depressing for Venus Williams to beat her sister. And there wasn't anything joyful about this event. This is a semifinal at Wimbledon. You think that Venus Williams is going to move on and compete against Lindsay Davenport now in the finals and essentially have a shot at the Wimbledon crown, and yet she seemed so depressed.
Well, you know something, Phil? I think you're bringing up an interesting point. The reason that Venus was depressed, as I think, is the reason why so many black people cannot celebrate in a sport like tennis, which only recently has embraced the black athlete. And I think it's because she knows in her heart that she had been manipulated into beating her sister by the white man. Now, I'm not trying to say all white people are wrong, but I know that the white man has manipulated the Williams sisters into playing tennis because he made a showpiece of African athleticism that had not been alive in tennis
since Arthur Ashe retired and subsequently died.
So, all right, so in other words, there's black athletes in tennis because the white man manipulated them into it because we hadn't had a good...
Now hold on, before you start ripping my argument to pieces here.
No, I'm just trying to understand it, that Venus Williams is playing tennis because we haven't had a great black tennis player since Arthur Ashe.
Well, if you're...
And they were manipulated into it by the white man.
The white man is... Arthur Ashe died from AIDS brought on by the white man's transfusion because pressure from living in a white man's world gave him a heart attack.
Say that again? Arthur Ashe had a heart attack?
Arthur Ashe got a heart attack because it's too much pressure living in a white man's world. But Venus beats Serena.
Wait a minute. Arthur Ashe had a heart attack from all the pressure of living in a white man's world.
By having Venus beat Serena, they are perpetrating black-on-black violence. And Serena will be harboring black rage and will want to take it out on another sister brother. See what I'm saying?
Why wasn't the father there? Okay? Why wasn't he there? And why is everybody so depressed? And
the white man made Venus' father depressed that he could not go to the tournament. So he went out and medicated himself. And the only way that a black man can medicate himself is to price sky blue Cadillacs. So I really felt that...
Wait a second. Venus's father went out and medicated himself from being so depressed by the defeat of his daughter Serena that he priced a sky blue Cadillac?
Test drove it. Now you can say all you...
Everything you're saying here has the smack of... There's a certain racist tone to...
Now you can say what you want. Mr. Williams, I'm sure, went out and bought himself a sky blue Cadillac with white walls to try and lift himself up and remind himself that he is a proud black man, and help him get over the pain of one of his children not finishing in the money. Now, the matches leading up to the semis were fixed so that the semi could be black-on-black violence. Now, that's
all right, Pastor Rennick, I've listened to this. I got to disagree with you.
I know you disagree with me. You'd have to disagree with me.
So, in other words, Venus and Serena Williams were in this tournament because the white man is perpetrating black-on-black violence.
That's right. Keeping their communities together, they don't need to be pitched against one another in a competitive match.
Well, what about basketball and football?
Those sports are traditionally black. They are traditionally black. Tennis. The black man wandered into tennis like a dog wanders out on the freeway. And he didn't know what hit him. And that's why they were depressed at the defeat yesterday, and I've had a family depressed. And you have got to understand that while I know you have a compassionate nature, Phil, and you try to understand the way people are, this is something much more serious, goes much more deeper.
Okay, Pastor William Rennick is with us here at 1-800-449-8686. Venus Williams and Serena Williams got into a semifinal tennis match yesterday, Pastor. By the luck of their competitive skill, the sisters went up against each other, and they were depressed most probably because they're sisters, they love each other, and it was difficult to see one of them go down to defeat, okay?
What difference is it making? That's your way of looking at that. You don't understand how the white man has manipulated us into being into tennis.
The white man manipulated you into being into tennis. The white man manipulated you into playing in tennis and then to go out and medicate yourself with a sky blue Cadillac. That's easier to believe than the fact that they were just depressed because they were two sisters who didn't want to see each other. You know, every single thing cannot possibly be race related.
Yes, it can.
No, it can't.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that.
No, I'll tell you, I'm being honest with you. Yes, it can. Now, I'm not saying that everything is, but I'm saying everything can. And Venus Williams' father, the man who put those children on center stage in the world of tennis, had to go out and buy himself four white walls.
All right. Hold the line here. Pastor William Rennick with us. Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I'd like to thank Fred Schuster for an eminently fair article in the Los Angeles Daily News yesterday. And I thought he captured, unlike, well, a lot of writers who try to, he, I think, captured the essence of our program very nicely. And I appreciate that very much, Fred, although you described me as squat and powerfully built in the article. It says, Phil Hendry, squat but powerfully built. Now, I'm not a giant, but I am 6 feet tall. I didn't know that was squat. And coming from you, Fred, you midget. Powerfully built, that's, I'm gonna give you, powerfully built is a nice way of saying that I'm fat, okay? You know, barrel-chested and fat in the gut. Would have been more accurate to say the 6 foot tall but fat Phil Hendry, but squat and powerfully built was made me sound like Ernest Borgnine or something. You know, it's Jackie Gleason. Anyway, thanks for that. And then we immediately, of course, after your article, Fred, we got interest. You know, people calling from television, and we've had so much interest from TV stations and channels and things. In fact, from one network show to film the show and to interview me, and we turn these requests down because we don't allow television cameras in our studio. We never have and we never will. And I have a couple of reasons for that. One of the reasons I have for that is that I think that what we do here is as sacrosanct as television people think what they do is. For instance, they wouldn't let me to walk onto the set of a TV show with my microphone talking about what's going on in the TV show for a report that I was doing for radio. It would be intrusive, right? Of course. Well, the same thing with a television camera sitting here in our studio filming what I do. It ain't going to happen. Because this is radio. It's supposedly theater of the mind, and we're supposed to use what little imagination we have left when we're listening to it. And, you know, having a TV camera parked there ain't exactly getting the job done. So we don't allow that, and we do appreciate, though, the interest, but you ain't never going to see me on TV, unless it's just me sitting there running my big fat mouth about stuff, like John F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife was doing just before they crashed. But it's, you know, no television. And yeah, that's true. As Fred indicated in his article, I rarely give interviews to anybody. And one of the reasons for that is, as I've mentioned before, but it's kind of a crusade of mine, there are very, very, very few people who write about radio with any intelligence. They really don't get anything or know anything about it. By the way, Judith Michelson just retired from the LA Times. Sorry to see you go, Judy. Not. Now, I, you know, they just don't get it. So anyway, thanks for the article, Fred. We appreciate that. Not that anybody reads the Daily News, but, oh, I'm kidding. I'm sure if there's a couple of people. I see a guy, he gets it tossed on his driveway. Not that he goes out and picks it up, but he gets it tossed on his driveway. Is the Daily News getting bought by the L.A. Times, and does anybody care? Is the Daily News getting purchased by the L.A. Times, and if they did, would it make a sound? Sound familiar to you? Do you read a newspaper, Mike? Or is this all internet with you? Do you ever just sit there at Starbucks with a newspaper and the coffee going and maybe a cigarette going before somebody tells you to put it out? Whatever happened to the good old days of a cup of coffee, a newspaper, and a big, fat, burning Marlboro, man? God, yes! I don't smoke, but occasionally, you know, I'll blast one after a cup of coffee. I don't have a, I see, I don't have the habit anymore. It's gone. The daily nicotine need is gone. I don't smoke during the work day. I don't smoke during the work week. On the weekend, sure, maybe I'll have myself a weed. As the kids say, I get a weed on. All right, by the way, saw Gladiator this past weekend. Saw a couple of movies, one of which was Me, Myself, and Irene. I got to be honest with you, I don't want to come down too hard. Jim Carrey is a funny guy. I didn't think it was as good as Something About Mary, which comes from the same directing team. But there was a couple of funny jokes. They always got a good penis joke in these Farley Brothers. But this one was, you know, the one in the Something About Mary, the guy gets it caught in a zipper. This one was, what happens when a man attempts to take a leak after having sex? You ever seen how it sometimes comes out at two streams or goes up in the air and stuff? Like, in this one, it's coming out sideways, okay? Because he just spent the entire night with his lady friend, and then he goes in to, you know, go to the bathroom, and it's shooting straight up into the air. I don't think that's ever been dealt with ever in any film. So my hat's off to those guys, man. Once again, they are dealing with something having to do with a man's extremities, which no one else has had the guts, the courage, the foresight, the intelligence, or the sense of humor to deal with. Real world stuff, baby. Although instead of shooting up in the air with me, sometimes it comes out in two separate streams. How about you? Yeah. Going like in a V. God, I have got to get in and get that PSA test, man. Saw that, and who's it? Renee? What's her name? Anyway, she was okay. It wasn't a bad flick. He's got three black sons, and it's kind of funny. Zellweger? It was all right. The kids loved it. Yes, we did. We took four kids to an R-rated film. I don't know how this happened. I don't know why we're sitting in the theater there. But they came walking out of there laughing their rear ends off. Man, just... It wasn't funny, you guys. Yes, it was. And then we saw this Gladiator. And Russell Crowe in Gladiator has got the wide range of emotion on this. He goes from implosive to introspective, and then back to angry, and then back to moody, and then back to serious, and then back to he's got like a boil on his rear end, and he isn't quite. He's just the range of emotions. He scowls. You know, there's a lot of different scowls in that movie. And then there's Joaquin Phoenix, who's really good. He plays the young emperor who, you know, steals the crown from his father, whom he murders. And Joaquin Phoenix is good, good actor. In fact, he's probably the best thing on that screen, other than the special effects, which shows all those German tribesmen getting burned up. How about that for a racist take on history, man? Those Germans, a bunch of fur-wearing morons in that Gladiator. All the Italians, man, on horseback, and they got the helmets. They might have been the last damn war they won, but they were winning it. Shiny armor, spears, they got their whole act together, and the Krauts are all out there in these fur vests, man. Look like Sonny Bono, 1967. War dogs. Just dumb looking. And these Italians, they fired those Romans, they fired all that fireballs into the forest, and these dumb Germans come down the slope to attack them, and the guys hit them from the rear, if you know what I mean. So anytime you get into that Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List mode where you think the German war machine is invincible, just go see Gladiator and take a look at these stumble bums. So anyway, Joaquin Phoenix, this guy is the brother of River and Rain, and but his name originally was Joaquin. He changed it briefly to Leif. And Mike thought it was L-E-I-F, as in the Norwegian or the Scandinavian Leif, as in Leif Erikson or Leif Garrett. No, it was Leif, L-E-A-F. The kid was watching leaves being raked one day. And because he had a couple of hippies for parents, they said, well, whatever's beautiful. Hey, you know the kid wants to choose his own name? That's fine with me. What should your name be today? How about Dr. Morris Fishbein? That's great. Okay. So the kid changed his name to Leif, and then that got kind of stale, and he went back to Joaquin. I would have stuck with Leif. I don't know about Joaquin. And the daughter, is that Rain or is that a son? And then there's like Sludge. I think they've got one kid named Runoff. What is up with that? Well, good actor, though, this guy, this Joaquin Phoenix. And the special effects were astounding. All that Gladiator crap, none of it even remotely historically accurate, but who cares? It was, by the way, Ben-Hur revisited, okay? Kids said to me, well, what was Ben-Hur about? Well, you saw Gladiator, it's the same damn movie, okay? Different kind of revenge movie, but a revenge movie nonetheless. In Ben-Hur, the guy goes kicks butt on a guy in the Gladiator race. In this thing, he sticks a knife through his neck out there in the middle of the Colosseum. But it's the same difference. And then we saw that Red Violin, because my wife made me watch that, and that was actually a really good movie. And then we rented a couple of other real artsy-fartsy things, and all from Blockbuster, by the way. But you got to go see this Me, Myself, and Irene, because they have got more penis jokes. The new penis jokes are out, man. They're out in the new Me, Myself, and Irene. And then he throws himself out of a car and, you know, like that. Took the kids to see it. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449. Oh, and by the way, I stood outside for about 15 minutes yesterday, all the top of my bald head sunburned. How long does it take to get a sunburn? Shouldn't it be like a half hour? I'm getting burned in 5 minutes now. 5 minutes, I'm standing there, I says, can I show you something, Mr. Hendry? See this plant here, you need to replace that. Sure, okay. I go inside, I'm burnt. I got a third degree burn on my head. On my face, my legs, it sucks, man, looking like a big, pasty-skinned Irishman. Burned head, burned face, hand, sunburned hands. Something wrong with that, like the palms of my hands. Oh, you're telling me that's not from sunburn? Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Oh, you think it's friction? Phil Henry Show. Hey, Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686. Thanks for the Whatever Works Garden, Home, and Pest Control catalog that I got from Melissa, because this is something you got to have, man. You know, if you're doing a little gardening or you're hanging around the house trying to get some landscaping going, because, you know, you notice that I haven't talked much about the pool lately. It's going beautifully, really nice. Scott Cohen, you're doing the job, man. Doing the job. Poured the coping. I got the world's biggest barbecue in my backyard right now. I'm not talking about the grill, which is 48 inches wide. I'm talking about the whole thing, man. The counter space. I got seating for 20 at this barbecue. It's enormous. It's fantastic. It's like a U shape, Craig, like a horseshoe. And you walk into the horseshoe, barbecue here, double doors underneath it, double doors on the other side, and a cooler right at the apex of the U, if you will, the bottom part, I should say, of the U. And around, like, seating for 20 around this thing. Big, wide counter space. What am I going to be serving there? Big platters of beef? Big ribs? Then he got the, you know, that seating. It's just, it's going really good now, okay? I mean, we ain't going to be swimming till the middle of August. And I won't be paying for it until probably the middle of, you know, the next century. But, in fact, I won't be paying for it at all. Gets hot in August, though, doesn't it? So here it is. Beat it, bad guys. You're not welcome in my house. This is a commercial-strength pest repeller using both sonic and ultrasonic sound to effectively and humanely rid your property of squirrels, raccoons, rats, bats, mice, insects, spiders, fleas, ticks, and even some large animals. If I had all of that on my property, I'd leave. I ain't hanging around. Bats! But I was walking down the beach in Mexico a few weeks ago, right? Went into a cave, and I saw birds flying. They weren't flying out of the cave. They were flying deeper into the cave. And then it struck me. Bats. Just like Renfield, you know? Rats. All red blood. Anyway, these things, have you ever seen a bat? I mean, when, you know, I woke up a bunch of bats. I'm walking in there, and suddenly I see they all flew into the cave. A bunch of freaking bats there. This beach, I mean, this down in Puerto Vallarta, you know, that part of Mexico, all kinds of critters, man. Iguanas, they got crabs that walk sideways, they got sea snakes. It's, well, maybe I shouldn't say, because you guys won't want to go down there. On second thought, you won't want to go down there, so I should. All right, so anyway, there you go. A variable frequency produces complex audible and inaudible sounds that drive pests crazy, but barely can be heard by the human ear. Switch allows you to target specific pests, which, you know, it'll drive all the rats and the bats out of your yard, and it'll kill your dog. Look at this, man. Water blaster keeps animals away painlessly. If you got to see the picture. It shows this, looks like a sprinkler head, shooting water right up the rear end of a deer. The deer's trying to get away from it. The deer came out of the guy's, that's the first thing you want to do when you see deer on your property is shoo it off, isn't it? Yes. Thanks a lot, guys. I mean, no, you don't want to get the camera, and you don't want to try to feed it, and you don't want to go, wow, a deer. You want to shoo it off with a blast of water from a fire hose. Keep mosquitoes away with a sense of humor. Tell them bad jokes. That's what it says right here. Don't let insects ruin your BBQ. These whimsical citronella candles are safe, effective, and made to be seen. You ever seen those citronella candles that you light? These are candles that are in the shape of like a guy on a life raft. In fact, one of them looks like Alien. Okay, they really do the trick with a subtle fragrance that's pleasing to humans but completely offensive to mosquitoes and other flying insects. They also make for great conversation pieces. The hell kind of a life have you got if you're sitting around going, geez, those citronella candles, Ed, now I know why I'm here. Yeah, see what I told you? I told you to come over and have a beer with me and look at the citronella candles. You're going to sit at home and watch the Super Bowl? No, that's beautiful. That one looks like Alien, doesn't it? It does. Conversation piece? Anyway, this is a catalog that is going to help you with all of your gardening needs. No more splattered bugs on your walls. Bug Sweep is sanitary, safe, and clean. Works like a dream. Just point the cordless wand By the way, what time did you tell me to start the music, Mike? 54:23? Oh, okay. Bug Sweep is sanitary, safe, and clean. Works like a dream. Just point the cordless wand at the offending bug, and its powerful vacuum sucks them into a self-sealing, removable cartridge that is lined with a unique sticky gel where they can't escape. After the cartridge is full, throw it away and drop in a new one. Then stick your hand up the wand and see if it works with people. Great. Anyway, that's cool. Get me that for my birthday, I think is what's coming. Yeah, my birthday's before Christmas. Yeah, do that, will you? Bug Sweep. Whatever happened to sitting around and looking at the Bud Zapper? Okay, here's some crap that Craig told me to play. To remember. A love so full I could send us always.
And I want you to surrender. Phil Hendry. All my feelings arose today.
ICS.